Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today we're joined by Hannah Morgan, a speaker, entrepreneur, and working mom of three who understands the demands of a busy lifestyle. As the founder of Heron House Management, the first virtual house management service, Hannah is passionate about helping parents reduce stress and streamline their mental load. We are very excited to discuss her insights on creating systems that make family life more manageable and joyful. Hannah, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we're really excited to talk to you about, especially in this month that we're discussing, you know, living a stress-free lifestyle, managing kind of anxieties in the world and things like that. We'd love to hear a little bit about yourself and how you came to found this virtual house management service.
Yeah, so I'm a working mom of three. I had my first child in 2020 when it was deep in the throes of the pandemic. So I think it was 5 weeks into lockdown. And that definitely shaped my parenting experience. And I was faced with all of the, you know, responsibilities and transformation that comes along with being a first-time parent, but without any of the support that often comes along with it. And so it became very apparent to me that there is undue burden on parents, especially working parents in these this era. And I started seeking out help for what I could delegate from my plate, from my, you know, administration needs as a family. And what I found was that there were personal assistant services out there and virtual assistant services out there. But the pain point was that it really required that upfront time to be able to delegate the tasks. And a common thing we hear from our clients is, oh, it just takes more time to tell somebody to do what, you know, needs to be done. Instead, I could just do it myself. And that was how I felt. Until I realized what I really needed was a thought partner. I needed a project manager, somebody that was going to own the success of the project, someone that would help me anticipate and plan and research and really make sure that these projects were getting across the finish line. And so something that seems as straightforward as getting a birth certificate for my first child's birth, when there were so many paperwork issues with the hospital, it required multiple phone calls to the health department and figuring out what supportive payment they would take and missed calls with the administrator and having to go down there and pick it up. And there were just so many moving parts that was kind of the last thing I wanted to deal with when I had a newborn at home that I just wanted to be able to focus on and spend time with. As I had more children, as my life became more complex and robust, those needs just escalated. And so in September of 2023, I talked to about 100 working parents and asked them what a service like this could do to support them and truly relieve their mental load in a way that other virtual assistant services and family assistant services weren't meeting. And so with that insight in mind, informed by my own experience as well, I started this first ever virtual house management service. So we have an amazing team of virtual house managers that are trained in our specific way of approaching all of the things you have to do as a parent, as an adult. And we work with them to create systems that relieve stress, ways that we can manage and anticipate the needs of a family, and then that project management piece. And so we found it to be really successful. We've gotten wonderful feedback from our clients so far, and it's been such a rewarding journey over the past year and a half.
Yes, I love that. Especially, yes, it's new. It's kind of this fun, we have VAs, especially since everything's kind of going more online anyways, this is opportune timing for you too. So let's just kind of get into the nitty gritties of like family life and looking at, okay, how can parents manage their stress in certain ways based on your advice? And then we'll go and come back out and just look at how you serve your families in those. So how do you help parents in understanding like having clear structures, and why is that so important to having, you know, reducing stress in your family life?
Yeah, so having clear structures and routines allows everybody to know where they need to be at any given time, what their responsibility is, and it minimizes that need to be constantly coordinating and saying, oh, did you do this? Or, you know, who's going to pick up the kids after school today? Or did you feed the baby in the middle before we left for school? Or whatever the routines are, who's packing lunch today? if you have a routine so that everybody who is responsible, whether that's the parents, when you get the kids involved, as they get older, everybody knows what the expectation is of them. So we have chore charts for children, which I think are really great, helpful system. But then we also have something we help our clients with is putting together a schedule for the week. And we always recommend using digital, but some prefer to do paper because that's what works best for them. But basically a repeatable routine and schedule. So everything is, you know, scheduled out. And when you have systems in place, it minimizes a lot of that mental load of the orchestration. And then when things do go wrong, you just make shifts. And when things do change, you make shifts on the fly. And so we found that that is really helpful for reducing stress. It's a well orchestrated machine the family should be. And if you have systems in place, then it just means that you're not dropping balls and looking for keys and wondering where people are and forgetting kids. And so that can be really low hanging fruit and a good place to start. So we love to start with a shared calendar, shared documents that have all of the contact information for caretakers, pet sitters, landscapers, et cetera, a group text with a nanny so that both parents are on that group text, automatic birthday reminders. So you set your reminder for every year to recur. That's low hanging fruit, but then also a little pro tip is to have it notify you a week before so that you can send them a gift. We have a bunch of spreadsheets that we've developed for our clients that really just create those systems in place. And so you're never asking yourself, oh, did I do that thing? Or who's responsible for this year? It makes a big difference for quality of life at home.
Wow. And what would you say are like that your clients have come back to you? What would you have said that like they love that structure the most that you have implemented, that you have shared with them? Do you have one that comes to mind right away?
Yeah. Well, I think that when you do the planning in the open and you make the schedule totally visible for all players, it really levels the playing field. And so it means that people aren't asking you, you know, cough, your spouse, what are we having for dinner tonight? Or, you know, who's picking up this kid after soccer practice? Because it's all laid out in one place. So you can do a printout that we have some clients that do that because their caregivers for their children don't have access or they're not digital natives. So that can be just like a one pager of all the things that are happening for that week. And it's pasted on the fridge, all the meals, all the pickups, all the errands. People use the Skylight calendar, which is like a little iPad that, you know, goes on the countertop. And again, it's all in one place. I have one person who likes to have like a physical checklist. And so there's a notebook that lives on the kitchen counter. Mm-hmm. And so I would say planning it out and having it visible to all really helps get everybody on the same page.
Okay. Love that. Okay, great. So when parents are like starting to try to implement these new structures into their home, what are some of the first steps that they can take to establish those routines and then also stick with them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say like start with a thing that's causing the most stress that feels like you can put the biggest dent into. So like what is the low hanging fruit that you can have the biggest impact for the least amount of effort? It's typically a shared calendar. Like that's usually a really good place to start. And that kind of gets everybody on the same page and it starts automating some of those mental processes.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Getting people on the same page. I love that. I kind of want to go back to what you said a little bit earlier on when you were talking about just how you started your company and having all those birth certificate things. And I just got married and changing my name is a pain, you know, like getting all that figured out. And so I love that you are helping your clients and people just really structure those things in a way that's manageable for them. So, because it's not like you're doing the work for them, right? Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, like you are just setting things up for success for your clients, right?
We do a lot of the work too. It's really up to our clients what help they want. So sometimes they want help setting up systems. Sometimes they want help with accountability. And sometimes they want to actually have us manage and execute the projects for them. So it really just depends on what the project is and what our clients' needs are. But I mean, if you just got married, I'm sure that you just went through a ton of project management planning a wedding, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, those responsibilities fall on women because it's either what they want or it's the gendered expectation. And there's all these kind of traditions that come around weddings, like the bridal party expectations and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, that's a great example of a major project that it's very societally normal to hire a wedding planner to help support that. And so think of us as, you know, supporting the same way a wedding planner would, which is managing, helping you meet your needs, establishing what your expectations are, and then actually getting you to the wedding day with as little stress as possible, having a beautiful, successful wedding. That's nice. The goal, but for everyday things.
But for family life. awesome.
Exactly.
I love that. How do you recommend parents address like their emotional stress that stems from, you know, just daily living, just the norms of, you know, yeah, the struggle to find who's driving kids to work or who's making dinner or all that stuff. How do you help parents in managing that?
Well, I mean, this month is the stress reduction month, right? You guys are focusing on that, which I love. You know, stress and mental health for parents is so, so important. And it's something that is really underserved. And it's an arena that could really use a lot more support in this country. So, you know, there was a report that 41% of parents and caregivers are, quote, so stressed they cannot function most days. And 50% said stress overwhelms them on a regular basis. And that was a report called Parents Under Pressure. So there's a lot of pressure on parents to perform, and it doesn't come with the kind of support that's required to meet up to those societal expectations, especially for working parents who have two, you know, often competing sets of responsibilities. It can create a lot of tension when you're trying to decide between being present at your kids', you know, event, soccer practice, or, you know, recital or whatever it may be, versus taking that meeting that might give you visibility for executives that would allow you to advance your professional career. There's a lot of tension there, and a lot of time it comes down to, you know, you can't be in two places at once, and you also have to figure out what your priorities are, and those might be shifting. And that can cause tension, and that can cause stress, especially if you're unclear about what you want and what your values are and what's your priority. And so I would say that, you know, addressing emotional stress is, one, you're not alone, and two, you know, parents are very under-resourced for the kind of support that it really requires. A long time ago, and many people today still say they have a village that helps them raise their children, and, you know, to having an extra pair of hands and extra help around the house. And these days, a lot of people don't have that because we're more likely to move to another place away from our family to have a job. We also have, you know, larger age gaps so that maybe our parents are older and can't help. And so there's just a lot of things that go into the lack of support. And so I would say if you're able to outsource and delegate, that's something that can be really helpful for reducing stress. Putting systems in place is another one, because like I said earlier, you know, that can really reduce stress. But then also just getting the kind of support that is helpful for you, for your own mental health, allows you to fill your cup so that you can be more present and less stressed when you're with your kids and with your partner and participating daily life, whether that's therapy or taking walks or exercising or making whatever changes you need to in your personal life that can help you reduce stress. Those are just kind of a few common threads that I see with working parents.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, focusing on those priorities, like you said, and what you're like, what do you prioritize the most? I think that is a very important aspect that you mentioned. So once you have your, you know, you have these systems that you helped your clients kind of create, in the midst of implementing them, what are some obstacles that they face? And it can be, I mean, I'm sure you have several different obstacles, but just kind of the more general obstacles that families may face in the midst of implementing these new structures, these new routines, and how would you help them overcome those obstacles?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the biggest ones are before we get started. Our clients come to us and they feel overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. They feel like they can't ask for help or they don't want to ask for help. There can be a pride issue. There's also a major issue with the invisible labor that comes along with the mental load. And so the invisible labor being the person who is carrying around in their head all of the schedule, the responsibilities, preferences, what your kid likes, you know, their friend's birthday present, you know, someone's got to buy it to align with their preferences. Like there's a lot of mental load that is invisible. And so making that labor visible is a very important thing to start off with, because a lot of times clients come to us and they say, I feel silly for asking for help with this because it should be so easy or straightforward, but it's just too much. And it's like, one, you shouldn't feel silly. You can always ask for help. And two, it's a lot and it's unfair to expect that one parent manage it. But even in homes that we see that are very well balanced, it's still a lot on two parents to manage. And so raising your hand and saying, I need help is usually the first step. And that's what we're here to do. And to help reduce that overwhelm by taking bite-sized pieces of what's causing that overwhelm. So typically a client will come to us. Usually they'll say, I am feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling stressed. I need help with a couple of things like meal planning, scheduling, doctor's appointments, et cetera. And we'll say, great. And we'll talk about what doctor's appointments they need to schedule and what their preferences are for meal planning. And, you know, so that we can kind of get things started. And then the next question we ask is, how do you spend your weekends? And they'll tell us, and we'll say, okay, it sounds like you spend Saturday cleaning the house and Sunday having family time. Does that feel like a good balance to you? And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, no, I don't want to clean the house on the weekends. I would rather be spending quality time with my kids than sorting socks. And so we say, okay, well, let's think about some creative solutions here. We could do a chore chart. So you break up all the cleaning throughout the week. We could think about outsourcing and hiring cleaners. We could think about getting your kids more involved and coming up with age-appropriate tasks for them so that everybody cleans the house together on Saturday mornings instead of it taking you all day and you miss out on quality time. So things like that. Laundry service, you know, that's one thing that people don't think to outsource because it's not necessarily that something you think is straightforward, but it can be something you can very easily outsource and take that load off. And so the other piece of that is we ask people, what's the thing that is causing you stress that is following you around? We call it like the black cloud that's following you around that hasn't even made it to your to-do list yet. And there are these tasks, and I know we all have them, where you think, I really need to handle this issue, you know, and I don't even know where to start. I don't want to put it on my to-do list because I don't want to do it. It feels too overwhelming. It feels too complex. And whenever we ask our clients there, it's like, blah, 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 you know, there's always a half dozen things that come to mind.
I have a list already.
Exactly. Exactly. I can see it in your eyes. I know that.
Oh, like, you're speaking to my heart.
Yes. And it's like the stuff you sit down on Monday morning or Friday afternoon, if you're a head planner and you come up with your to-do list, like, you know, getting your chimney relined for your, right? Like, that's not something you're going to put on your to-do list because it just feels like too big and it's not time bound. And sometimes setting up those systems, you know, people say, oh, I wish I had a better way to plan my meals for the week. But that's not really something you put on your to-do list, implementing systems. And so that is where we really help extract the sources of stress and those things that haven't made it to people's to-do list yet. Put it out in the open, organize it by priority and say, okay, we're going to chip away at this. We're going to help make this happen. And so we come up with a project plan for something like replacing the liner in your chimney. Sounds very straightforward. There's probably 10 steps and, you know, 5 different callbacks you have to have with different contractors just to get it across the finish line. That's where the project management piece comes in. And 9 times out of 10, our clients get off the first call and they say, I feel so relieved just knowing I'm not alone in this, and that they have, we try to offer them a true thought partner in this process of being an adult, and most of our clients are parents, and also in being a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and then just, yeah, the relief of hearing, okay, there are solutions, and you know, like, yes, it seems a little overwhelming at first because, like, the whole idea of, yes, you have this task that you need to do, and you have, but you know mentally, you haven't written it down, it's all in here, like, yes. You were saying, yes. It's all in yeah. here, all the other yeah. steps that are associated with it. So you're like, I don't want to do that now. And so you just put it off inside. But I love that you guys address those things, you put it out, like you said in the beginning, like, write it down, put it out in the open for everyone to be a part of.
Yes.
Yes, that's so great. So you did mention, you know, like, some of the obstacles are like first starting, just even getting to the call, or even just recognizing that you need help. And I can resonate, and I think our audience can resonate too a lot with that. And especially with culture today, where, you know, in American culture, at least, we're very like go-getters, and we just keep mm-hmm. going, and we work really hard and all that, which is all good. But in the end, it's like, yes, sometimes we forget that we can ask for help. And so I love that you guys offer kind of like an open place for that. And also just, you know, providing that assistance in those areas that are very practical and reasonable. So when we talked, you mentioned a little bit earlier on in the episode about, you know, getting your kids involved when they get to a proper age. So how does that look in your system? So you did mention a chore chart. Is there anything else that parents can implement in the structural, you know, alignment of their home to where it's not just them doing everything all the time, not just them, you know, doing the laundry, all these things? How can their children also participate in this home environment?
Yeah, well, I like to say that, you know, everybody who lives in the home is responsible for the home, right? And the way that manifests typically is where people say, I am doing the dishes, doing the laundry, cleaning, picking up the kids, all these things, and my partner doesn't do any of those things. And it's like, well, they're your partner's dishes too. You know, like, we're all eating the food. We're all, you know, making the floors dirty. We're all wearing the clothes. We all need to participate. And so it looks different for every family, but I think everybody understanding that you have to take collective responsibility for the collective home is a really good place to start. I really like to model that for my children. And especially with the gender dynamics of assuming that a lot of those home tasks and care tasks are on a woman. We do not do that in my house. I have 3 boys. They will be equal partners just like their dad is. And that's very, very important to us, to both of us, me and my husband. And so one of the things that we do with our kids before we leave is, you know, we plan enough time so that before we have to walk out the door, we say, okay, what needs to be cleaned up before we leave? And so we ask the kids to take responsibility for our collective space. And to say they get to pick out what they need to clean up. And sometimes they pick things that we wouldn't have thought of. Like, we make them pick up their toys, but, you know, sometimes my son likes to make his bed, which is like not something we expect of them or have ever really taught them to do, but he likes to do it because that's his way of tidying his space and taking responsibility. So we try to put it on them to establish, you know, that routine before you leave, that this is something we're all going to participate in, but also give them a little bit of autonomy and make it kind of fun so that them taking responsibility doesn't just look like checking things off a list, which is like, you know, fun for some adults, but probably not that fun for kids. So, you know, making it fun, making it something you do together. Sometimes we'll do like, oh, let's see if we can get all the puzzle pieces in the box by the time I count to 17, and I'll pick a random number and we'll all do it together and make sure that we all win. You know, that kind of collective spirit of responsibility, I think, is really important.
And have you noticed with your own children too, just how has that influenced, whether that influences their self-respect or their, you know, their confidence in themselves? Has incorporating these things done that for your kids?
Yeah,
or have you noticed any change in them, you know, in that sense?
Well, I mean, we've done it since they were very young, right? It's always been a part of who they are and what we do and our family and kind of our ethos. Yeah, yeah. But we also send the kids to Montessori. So it's reinforced during the day where they have an ethos of taking responsibility for your personal space, mm-hmm. putting your toys away, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I think it really promotes confidence and self-sufficiency and independence, but it also kind of promotes everybody being a part of a family unit, being a part of something larger than just yourself. So instead of just saying, oh, you're responsible for your own toys and your own clothes or whatever, you know, we're not a group of individuals living under one roof. We are a unit. We are a family. We do need to work together as a team. And so I think like making it something that's bigger than them, bigger than just one person. I know that that's valuable for me, you know, when I feel like, oh, I'm not just doing, you know, everybody's laundry. I'm not just putting away everybody's clothes. I am making sure that everybody has what they need for the week and setting us all up for success. And it makes all of our lives easier. And it means that we can do fun things because we're not like searching for, you know, a pair of pants or whatever the case may be, because our home is organized and it doesn't create that chaos.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. The family as a unit. And yeah, that's perfect. Do you have any success stories from clients that you've worked with that where they've just completely turned, you know, 180 or anything like that, that's just very inspirational for you, that has like encouraged you to continue this work, but also that's just been a beautiful thing to see, I guess.
I appreciate all of our clients, and every client is different, right? Every client comes to us with their own, you know, landscape of what they need and what their stress is and how they work. We work really hard to meet our clients where they're at and to work with them in a way that is productive for them. Some of our clients like to be really involved in the planning process, and some of them want to just have us plan their kid's birthday party or, you know, buy Christmas presents for their in-laws or whatever it may be. But what I find really rewarding is when our clients say that they really felt like they had a partner in this work and that it wouldn't have been as successful without having that level of support. And so, you know, we had a client who, when we onboarded her, she was one of the things that was kind of in her cloud following her around was her parent had a milestone birthday coming up. I think it was 80. And she wanted to find a way to recognize that and celebrate her parent. Our house management services and her house manager were able to successfully plan a birthday party that was a huge success. And it was, you know, a wonderful event for everybody. And our client not having to be stressed about what that celebration was going to look like and how to execute it allowed her to actually enjoy it and to feel like she could really partake in and enjoy the celebration of her parents' life. So I would say that that's one really tiny example, but there are so many others. We work with a lot of people, you know, most of our clients are parents, though not all of them. We'll often have first-time parents come to us when they are pregnant or they're trying to get pregnant. And there's a lot of overwhelm with the process of like all the things that you need to do preparing for the birth of your baby. And then especially right after the baby comes, there's like this whirlwind of paperwork that is very overwhelming, like I cited in my own experience when I had my first child. But that happens with every child too. So being a partner in that and helping them anticipate and plan out what needs to be done. So like for the example of having a baby, we have a spreadsheet that has all of the tasks that you need to think about broken out by trimester, including the fourth trimester, which is what they call the 3 months after you have the baby. And so it's like, okay, if you want to do a maternity shoot, let's plan it in your second trimester so that it happens in your third trimester. Let's get all of the diapers and formula so you're not trying to like rush order them from Amazon from the hospital room, you know, planning all those things, getting everything laid out, getting the pediatrician lined up, scheduling those appointments. And then when the baby actually comes, you're set up for success. Your virtual house manager is, you know, a text or a phone call away to help with those things that come up last minute. But for the most part, you've got everything planned out. So it can be a really smooth experience. And ultimately, our goal is to work with our clients in a way that our work to, you know, knock out their to-do list and to do this project management and to do this anticipation allows them to be less stressed, be more present, and to ultimately spend time on what's important to them, whether it's spending time with their family, with their kids, advancing their career, pursuing their hobby, filling their own cup, reducing their stress. All of those things are really, really important. And if they can do any of those instead of, you know, scheduling a dermatologist appointment. Absolutely. That's great. Go live your best life while we do the mundane things for you.
Yes, I love that. That's great. Thank you. Just kind of to round out the conversation, do you have any tool? Oh, so you mentioned a lot of tools, honestly. I love this. So we'll have to have our audience check out your website. But just like, yeah, any books or resources that kind of helped you start off kind of in this direction of house management and then obviously have helped you in your own work in hair and house management.
Yeah, I'm a big reader. I love podcasts. A couple of books that I've really liked that I'd love to share. So I really liked Fair Play by Eve Rodsky, which is about balancing the mental load. I highly recommend that. Atomic Habits by James Clear is fantastic for thinking about how you can improve your life in small incremental ways and steps. And I think that part of creating systems is related to creating habits too. One I love if you're in my office, It's Already Too Late by James Sexton. It's a book written by a divorce attorney who talks about, it's kind of like a reverse engineered marital advice book where he says, I'm not going to tell you what you can do to have a happy marriage, but here are the things you shouldn't do to have an unhappy marriage. He is fantastic. Love him. Finished by John Acuff is about setting manageable goals and realistic expectations and helping you really achieve them and feel motivated to make that progress in your life. Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett is a really good one for when you're ready to do that kind of big picture overhaul and like, what am I doing with myself? And taking stock, figuring out what your priorities are. That's a fantastic one. The Family Firm by Emily Oster. Anything by Emily Oster is really, really good. She's a parenting and data economics professor, and she has a newsletter that's really good and a website that's full of resources, but all of her books are fantastic. She's written Expecting Better, Crib Sheets, and Family Firm, Running Your Family Like a Business. And then Soundtracks by John Acuff is one I really like about positive mindset and the mantras that you tell yourself. And then 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman is a good one. It's about time management and how you organize your life and time around priorities. Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown is about releasing the concept of being a perfectionist. A lot of clients come to us with this notion of perfectionism. And then Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell is a really good one. It's about delegating your time and focusing on what's important to you and allowing other people to do other things in your life for you that, you know, don't, that impede your quality of life. So those are some books that have been really formative for me. I've been on kind of a personal development journey the last couple of years. And so I outlined a few that have been highly impactful. As far as tools go, we've developed a set of proprietary spreadsheets that we use for everything from meal planning, vacation planning, all the contact information and evaluating what pet sitter you want to use. My personal favorite is when you get to the school age and you're trying to figure out what school to send your kids to, public, private, charter, whatever it may be. Same thing for daycare. We have all these spreadsheets available on our Etsy site. It's etsy.com/shop/hair and house management. So we love those spreadsheets and they're all like between $2 and $5. So we make it really affordable for people. And then we use Asana, which is a project management software for managing projects, tracking tasks, reminders, deadlines, due dates, recurring tasks and reminders. You can get a free version that you can use for your family if you're not a client with us. And I highly recommend that. And then lastly, I would just say shout out to our podcast. It's a weekly podcast called De-Stress the Nest. And it's 10-minute episodes where we have experts on to talk about bite-sized ways that you can minimize stress at home. And so we try to think about what's one thing you can learn or a couple things you can learn on one topic while you're on your way home from dropping your kids off at school, doing the dishes, preparing dinner, whatever it may be. And so the topics vary widely, but it's everything from preparing for end of life for yourself or a parent to managing stress at home by having meal planning and meal prep systems. So pretty wide variety of topics, but that's another resource that I want to shout out to.
Love that. We'll include that in the show notes for sure. I think that 10-minute increment is an incredible amount of time because you can get so much done in just 10 minutes. I love it.
It's true.
And then just to finish off, thank you so much. Can you share with us, like, let's say our podcast listeners are very interested in your work and want to learn more and, you know, see what you have to offer. Where can they go to find a little bit more about hair and house management?
Yeah, so you can go to our website. It's heronhousemanagement.com, H-E-R-O-N, housemanagement.com. And then our Instagram and Facebook handle is the same, Heron House Management. So you can check us out there. Our podcast is available on all the podcast, you know, channels, and then also on our website. You can check it out there. So yeah, feel free to reach out through a contact us form to me directly if you want to chat or if you have any questions. And yeah, we love to just put ourselves out there to change the narrative around the importance of balancing the mental load and making the invisible labor visible so that we can help parents reduce stress at home.
That's awesome. Wow. Thank you so much, Hannah, for being on the show today and sharing your wonderful expertise with our audience.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.